Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Lamed. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's Shiur at the very top of Daf Lamed. The Gemara opens up with attempting to figure out authorship of the Mishnah, and when that's discovered, we want to see the consistency in the terminology. Midakotoni Seifa Chayov, in the latter part of the Mishnah, where extinguishing a fire for several reasons, Kechos al Haner, Kechos al Hashem, and Kechos al Psila, the Mishnah concluded Chayov, Shma Mino, Rebbe Yehuda Hi. This would show that the Mishnah is taught in this, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Here, let us say a person put out a fire because he didn't want the oil receptacle, the nair, that which holds the oil, to get ruined. So the Mishnah says if you put out the fire for that reason, that's called a malacha she'eino tzricha legufa. You're doing the action, the malacha, namely extinguishing, which is one of the 39 prohibited activities on Shabbos, but you put it out for a reason other than the designed reason for meleches mechabeh. We mentioned in our previous year the formal violation of meleches mechabeh is where one puts out the fire in order to produce a coal. Here, he put out the fire for some reason other than the original Mishnah designed purpose. All the meleches that are meleches Shabbos are based on what was done in the construction of the Mishkan. But if you do an action for a purpose other than that which was done in the Mishkan, so that is called a malacha shein tzricha legufa. There's a machlokas tanoim about that, and Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that one is chayav. That's considered a Torah-level violation, even though you did it for a reason other than its official designed reason. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He says malacha shein tzricha legufa is potter, but our Mishnah rules chayav. So we conclude that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. Well, the question then is Resha b'may asikna. What is the subject of the Resha of the Mishnah, where it said a person puts out a fire mitnei hachoyle, and the Mishnah said if one puts a fire out mitnei hachoyle, so he's potter. E b'chole sheyesh bo sakona. If you're talking about a chole who needs the darkness because he is in life danger, he has an ailment that's life threatening, and you need to take care of him in the best way possible. And if that involves putting out the fire, so be it. Well, then mutter miboyale. The expression of the Mishnah should have been mutter. It's allowed. After all, the Torah says v'chai bohen, that one shall live by the laws of the Torah, not die by them. And hence, if he is in a life-threatening situation, the accurate expression would have been mutter, but it doesn't say that. It says potter. V'b'chole she'en bo sakona. If the chole featured in the ratio of the Mishnah was a person who is ailing but not life-threatening, in other words, the extinguishing of the fire isn't something that's necessary for preserving his life. It might add to his comfort level, but that's not reason for violating Shabbos. So then, chayav chatos miboyale. Then the expression should have been chayav chatos, namely if he put it out for a chayav she'en bo sakona, not aware that it's Shabbos or not aware that it's a malacha. So the expression should have been he's obligated to bring a chatos sin offering, as it is a Torah level violation. So we are having difficulty establishing the author of the Mishnah and then the consistency in the terminology. The Gemara says le'olam b'chayav she'esh bo sakona. It is, the chola in the Mishnah and the Resha is a chola that is in a life-threatening position. Ubedinhu delisni muter, and technically speaking, the proper language would have been mutter, that it is something allowed. But since the Mishnah had to teach in the Seifa, in the latter part of the Mishnah, use the term chayav, which means, which we'll say that's the extreme level of guilt, so tona nami resha, when the Mishnah was featuring innocence, it used potter, which is a less extreme term. So that there's a, it's simply a grammar or linguistic consideration where the Mishnah, when it wants to teach one extreme, it prefers not using the other extreme language, even though it would have been legally accurate. The Gemara continues with a Tanaic source that's featured, and we want to establish the authorship of this source. It says, "V'hotetoni Raboshaya," that which Raboshaya teaches, "im b'shvil achila shiishan," if a person needs to put out a fire, a candle, in order to enable the ailing person to sleep. So lo yichabeh, he shouldn't put out the candle because that's not a sufficient reason for violating Shabbos. V'im kova, but if he put it out anyway, poter aval oser, he is exempt from a need to bring a korban chatos, but what he did is forbidden. So who would author this idea? So it's clear then that hahi b'chole she'ein bo sakana. It's clear here we have a chole that is not in a life-threatening position. Otherwise, it would have been mutter, but it doesn't say mutter. It just says poter avolaser. It is forbidden. For Rabbi Shimon, this source that Rabbi Shai is teaching is in accordance with Rabbi Shimon, because if it were according to Rabbi Huda, it wouldn't have said poter avolaser. If it's a chole she'ein bo sakana, it would have said chayov. Chayov meaning he's guilty on as a Torah level violation. But it's not taught that way. It's taught using the expression poter aval oser, showing us that this is Rabbi Shimon who holds melacha shein tzricha legufa, the action of extinguishing, which was done for the comfort of the sick and not for making a coal, that is not a Torah level violation. But that's once again only according to Rabbi Shimon. Sha'ol she'ela zu li'ela mi Rabbi Tanchum demin noi. Mahu l'chabois butzina denura mekami be'isha b'shabata. Sha'ol she'ela means the following question was asked. Le'ela means in front of Rabbi Tanchum from Noi, the name of a place. Mahu l'chabois, is one allowed to put out a candle? That's a butzina, is a candle. Butzina denura, a burning candle. Mekami be'isha. Be'isha is someone who is sick. In other words, for the benefit of someone who is sick, can one put this out on Shabbos? So this was the question asked of Rabbi Tanchum. Posach v'omar. So he opens up with an agadic section. Rashi points out that there were times that before answering the question, they would lead into the answer with a piece of agoda. And this was figured prominently, especially when Torah was being presented to the masses, and you wanted to arouse their interest. So this is what would take place. So he opens up Pasach v'Omar. He opens up with the following. But before we read the following, let's just note the on the side of our Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading. And then as you scan ahead on the page, you'll notice there's a number of geometric forms that require introduction. So the nosei is Divrei David, Nirim Kesoysim Divrei Shlomo, V'inyan Hamesim. We'll see. The Gemara presents psukim from Dovid HaMelech, in Sefer Tehillim, that seem to contradict things that were taught in Sefer Koheles that was authored by Shlomo, his son, regarding the dead. And this topic is a rather long topic. As you can see, we've indicated this goes to Omid Beis. So we open up with a long question, and in this long question, a number of psukim are presented, showing the problems in these psukim. So, Pasach v'Omar. we note on the to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a shin that's encircled with a descending vertical dash line indicating a long question. Posach v'yomar, that Rabbi Tanchum opened and said, Ant Shlomo, An Chochmischa, An Suchlusnuah Soch. You, Shlomo, where is your wisdom and understanding? Lo dayach shedvorecha soisrim divrei David avicha. Is it not enough that your words contradict your father's words? Elo shedvorecha soisrim ze eze. But your words are self-contradictory. David avicha omar lo hamesim yahalu ka. David in Sefer Tehillim says that the dead shall not praise the Almighty. The ad amris v'shabeach ani es hamesim shikvar mesu. I praise the dead that already died. V'chazarta v'yomarta ki lekelev chai hu toiv min ha'aryeh hames. And then you say that the living dog is better than the dead lion. So one has to make up his mind. Is the state of death something that's praiseworthy or something that's not? So now what we do in the Gemara is we answer this, and you'll notice we have a long answer marking. This is to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a tough. Notice, though, that this is a very, very long answer. In other words, in order to cover the topics or the problematic psukim that were raised, we'll need to cover the Gemara till we get to the upper part of Omid Beis. In addition, under our Mivneh heading, you see we have triangles, and they are Hezber, Hapsukim, Shehoyu, Nirim, Soysim. We're going to explain the psukim that seemed to be contradictory. You'll also notice the use of diamonds, and they will come up a little bit later. They are also numbered 1 through 3 on the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. These diamonds are 3 hezberim for the posuk, the under the second triangle, namely after we present the second triangle, we will then have 3 approaches to that particular posuk. Let's first start with we'll now turn to the beginning of the long answer and the first posuk. Hodekomar David lo hamesim yaluka hochi ko'omar. Thusly, one should understand things. A person should occupy himself with the study of Torah and performance of mitzvahs before he dies. Shekivan shemes, once a person dies, botel min ha-Torah min ha-mitzvahs v'ein la-Kodesh Baruch Hu shevach bo. The person then ceases any ability, obviously, when he's dead, to study Torah, perform mitzvahs. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't have praise, is not praised through that. In other words, the dead get to what's called Olam Haba. In Olam Haba, so he who deserves reward gets his reward there. But in terms of glorification of the name of Hashem, there is no glorification of the name Hashem in Olam Haba. The glorification of the name of Hashem takes place in this world, and hence this is the time to preoccupy ourselves in the study of Torah and performance of mitzvahs. And that's what is meant by Lo Hamesim Yahalalu Kodi. The dead are not the source of praise of Hashem. V'hainu di Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mai Dichtiv B'mesim Chofshi. With this we also can understand Rabbi Yochanan's teaching concerning the posuk of B'mesim Chofshi. Kevan Shemes Adam, once a person dies, Nase Chofshi, he becomes free, Min HaTorah Min HaMitzvahs, free of Torah and of Mitzvahs, meaning he has no obligation because he is dead. Udekaomar Shlomo, we turn now to the second posuk that was featured above, V'shabeach Ani Es HaMesim Shekvar Mesu, that I praise the dead that have already died. Shekeshechotu Yisrael b'midbar, omad Moshe lefnei Kodesh Baruch Hu v'omar. When the Jews sinned in the desert, Moshe Rabbeinu arose and said to the Almighty, Kama tfilus v'sach v'omar, let's read that again. Omad Moshe lefnei Kodesh Baruch Hu v'omar, kama tfilos v'sachanunim lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said a number of prayers and beseechings in front of the Almighty. That's tfilos v'sachanunim lifonav, in front of the Almighty. V'lo nene, and he was not answered. Ukshaomar zechor l'avro mitzvot Yisrael avodecha, and then when he said, remember, this is after the sin of the golden calf, he said, and well, remember the forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yisrael, your servants, miyad nene. With that, he was answered. So by arousing the memory of the dead, that worked. Ah, velo yofel mar shlomo v'shabeach ani es ha-mesim shekvar mesu. Well, is it not then... Is it not then correct that which Shlomo in fact said, that the dead are praiseworthy? Those that already are dead are praiseworthy. In fact, they are. Dovar Acher. Now we see here a diamond, and another diamond appears a few lines later. That will be a third approach. This is a Dovar Acher, means a second approach to this pasuk v'shabeach ani es ha-mesim, which was the second pasuk that was featured above, needing explanation. So here's the second answer, second explanation. Minhagu shel olam, the way of the world. Sar bosar v'dom, a human official, gozer gzera, he can issue a ruling, a law, sofik mekaymenosot, sofik ein mekaymenosot. It's doubtful whether people will observe his ruling, or maybe not. Vimtim salomer mekaymenosot, and if you say that they will listen to his ruling, Bechayov Mekaymenosa, when that particular sar minister is alive, so they listen to his ruling. Bemoso Ein Mekaymenosa, once he dies, so they don't abide by his gezera, his ruling. Vilu Moshe Rabbeinu gozar gamo gzeros v'tikin kamo takonos. Moshe Rabbeinu, he issued a number of restrictions and he issued a number of enactments for Kayomos Heim Le'olam U'Olme Olamim, and his rulings and enactments continue for all times. So here you have an example of someone that's dead whose rulings are adhered to more strictly than those of the living. V'lo yofe omar Shlomo v'shabeach ani es ha-mesim. Well, is it not accurate that which Shlomo said, that the dead are more praiseworthy? Dovar acher v'shabeach ani v'chule. The third approach. Kid Rav Yehuda Marav, based on Rav Yehuda's teaching. The Omer Rav Yehuda Marav, Rav Yehuda teaching in the name of Rav, Mai dichtiv asei imi ois l'toivo v'yu son ai v'yevoshu. This particular section lasts a number of lines, and you can see the length of this section by noticing where the next double underline below Yof appears a number of lines later. The pasuk says, "Aseimi ois letoivo." This is David HaMelech seeking a sign from the Almighty that my enemies, he says, should see and be embarrassed. Omar David lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the background. David says to the Almighty, "Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Mechoili al oisai avon, forgive me for that particular sin." That's a reference to his premature taking of Bathsheba as a wife. So he says, forgive me for that. Omar loy mochuloch. So the Almighty says, you are forgiven. Omar loy asei imi ois b'chayai. David requests of the Almighty, please make a sign in my lifetime so people can see that you have forgiven me. There were a number of detractors that arose after that particular incident, and David wanted them to be, repudiated or dispelled with a sign. Omar loi. So the Almighty says, "Bechayecha, eini modia." In your lifetime, I won't make that known. However, at the lifetime of your son, I will let it be known that I forgave you. Kishibono Shlomo as Beis Hamikdash. When Shlomo erected the first Beis Hamikdash, Bikeshachdus Aron LeBeis Kodesh Hakodashim, he wanted to bring the holy ark containing the Ten Commandments into the Holy of Holies. Dovku Shorim Zebozeh. But the gates miraculously clinged to each other and remained shut. They stuck together, remaining shut. Omar Shlomo, Esrim Varbo, Rinonos Velonene. Shlomo HaMelech prayed 24 different types of prayer and was not answered. The gates remained shut. Posach V'Omar, he then opened and said, Sushorim Roshecha V'Nosu Pischei Olom V'Avoy Melech HaKavod. He said this pasuk, which conveys the idea of a prayer that the gates should open and the honorable king should enter. So you have a king saying, "Open up ye gates, so that the honored king should enter." Well, who's the honored king here? Ra'atu Basrei v'Mivlei. The gates ran miraculously to swallow him up. Omru, and the gates said, "Mihu ze melech hakavod? Who is this honorable king that you're referring to?" Omar Lahu, he says, Hashem Izuz Vigibar. This is all of these are quotes from the Pasuk. He says, it's the honorable king that I refer to is the Almighty. Chazar vi Omar, and he then said in a clearer fashion the same prayer, but with a clear reference, not leaving room for thinking that he was referring to himself. He then said, "Su shorim roshechem usu pischei olam v'yavo melech hakavod mihu ze melech hakavod? Who is the honorable king? Hashem tzvokis who melech hakavod sela? The Almighty is the honored king, and therefore open the gates for his entrance. V'lo nene, and that didn't work either. Kevon shi'omar, once he said." When he said, Hashem Elokim al toshe penei mishichecha zochro lechaste dovid avdecha, he says, don't abandon me, don't turn away from me. Remember the loving kindness of your servant, David, miadneh, that worked. So, in honor of the mentioning of King David, the gates opened up. That was the sign that we were looking for earlier. At that moment, the enemies of David, their complexions turned to like the bottom of pots. That's the literal explanation. In other words, they showed extreme embarrassment in their original taunting of David over the incident with Bathsheba, and the whole nation realized that the Almighty had forgiven him for his behavior in the case of Bathsheba. Well, what do we see from this story? We see that the mentioning of the dead was the effective way to get things to work. So wasn't it good that Shlomo in fact said that the dead are more praiseworthy? With that in mind, we then will understand the following pasuk. This pasuk features the dedication of the Beis Hamikdash, and it says there was a long festivity that was celebrated at the conclusion of the building of the Beis Hamikdash, and it says Bayom Hashmini Shalach Esa'om, on the eighth day of festivities, Shlomo Melech sent the people home. They were celebrating in the Beis Hamikdash for a full week. So on the eighth day, he sent them home, the Vayavorchu, and we should just point out that week was a week of festivities, including eating and drinking, and it happened to overlap with Yom Kippur. So it was a festivity that took place during the first half of the month of Tishrei, involving Yom Kippur as well. So it says that on the eighth day of festivity, Shalach Esam, Vayvorchu Esamelech, Vayechul Oleim Smechim V'Tuvelev, Al Kol HaToiv V'Shoasa Hashem L'David Avdo L'Yisrael Amoi. We'll now break down this pasuk. Vayechul Oleim, they went to their tents, is the literal translation, but ohel is also a reference to their wives. Shemotsu nishoseim betara, they went home finding their spouses, their wives, to be mutaros, to be tara, I mean pure, and not in a state of defilement, and hence they could be together with their wives. Smechim, it said in the pasuk, shenehenu miziv hashchina. They had experienced the joy of being in the presence of the divine glory. V'tuvei lev, shenis abru nishasem shokol echad ve'echad v'yol dezochar. As a result of their rejoining their wives, they became pregnant, and each one of them bore a male child. Al kol hatoyva she'osa Hashem l'David avdoi, shem mochal loy al oisa avon. Here we've dashed, underlined this to draw your attention that this is the reason that this pasuk was brought in the first place. This is showing that at that time of the dedication of Beis Hamikdash and the event we mentioned earlier with the bringing of the Aron into the Kodesh Kodashim, that they saw a sign that the Almighty forgave David for his behavior with Bathsheba. Uli Yisrael Amo, the toiva for Yisrael Amo is the ochluhu avoin diyom hakipurim, and they also understood that they had not done anything wrong that year. It was a one-time experience of having eaten and essentially violating Yom Kippur, but it was okay on that occasion. You see a triangle and also a gimel to the immediate left-hand side of the Moro text, showing, keeping track of the fact that this is now the third pasuk that needed explanation above. Udekomar Shloimo ki lekelev chai hu toiv min aryeh ameis. The alive dog is better than the dead lion. Rav Yehuda Marav, based on Rav Yehuda Marav's teaching. And before we go on in the Gemara, we've added a tat nose, a subtopic heading here, and that is Ritzonu Shel David Lodas Mosai Magia Sofo. Here, David HaMelech talks to the Almighty and indicates his desire to know about his end, when he will die. So, the Omer of Yehuda Marav, my diftiv hodieni Hashem kitzi umidas yomai mahi edo me chodel oni. Omer David lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shelom, hodieni Hashem kitzai. Rashi explains, as I want to know what events are going to befall me. What am I going to experience as my life goes on? Omalo gezero hi milafonai she'ein modiin kitzoi shabasu v'dam. The Almighty says that it's a ruling that I issued for myself that we don't inform people of what events will befall them. Umidas yomai mahi. Now we're explaining the pasuk that we cited in parts like we did before, and hence you can see we've used this underlining to bring out the sections that are quoted. He wants to know here what will his lifespan be? And the Almighty says, "Gzera him ulfanai she'ein modiin midas yomov shel baser v'dam." It's a rule that I have that I don't tell in people. I don't inform people of how long they are going to live. Ve'edo ma chodel ani amalo. So here he's asking for when, what day of the week will I die? Omer lo b'Shabbos Tammuz. So the Almighty says that I can tell you. You will die on a Shabbos. It doesn't tell him which Shabbos, of course, that we mentioned before. But you will die on a Shabbos. So David asks. He's bikesh. He asks Amus be'echad b'Shabbos. Well, could I not die on make it such that I die on a Sunday? And Rashi says shiuchlu sasek biu behespedi. On that way, I won't be a corpse just lying around, but rather I'll die on a weekday, on Sunday, and people will be able to tend to me and eulogize me. Omar loy kvar higia malchus shlomo bincha v'ein malchus negas b'chaverta afilu k'mlo nima. Well, the Sunday that you're requesting is already, it's that Sunday after the Shabbos I mentioned, but the time for the monarchy of your son Shlomo would have already begun, and there is no overlapping of kingship. That's even a hair's breadth. In other words, when one's time ends, the other's time begins, without overlap.
So he says, fine, almost Be'erev Shabbos, so let me die on a Friday, so I won't be encroaching on the time designed for my son. So let me die a day earlier. At least, again, as we said, they'll be able to tend to me. Omar loy, ki toiv yoim b'chatzirecha me'elef. What does that posuk mean? Toiv li yoim echad shata yoshev esik b'torah. Better is even one day. One day, this is reference to the day, the extra day, the Shabbos. You want to die on Friday, but I want you to stay around another day because your one day of life that you are sitting and engaged in Torah study is more beloved to me. More than 1,000 Ola offerings that your son will eventually offer to me on the altar. The story continues on the top of Omid Beis. Kol Yoyma de Shabbata, every Shabbos that came by, have Yosef Vigoris Kuliyoma. He sat studying Torah the entire day. The Rashi at the top says, have Yosef Vigoris Shelo Yikrav Malach HaMoves Elov. That would prevent the angel of death from drawing unto him. Sha'atorah Megino Mimoves Kedamrin Besoita. The study of Torah prevents. Serves as a shield against death. Haho yoma deboi lemeinach nafshe, the day that the real Shabbos that came that he was supposed to die on. Kom malach hamoves kameh v'lo yochalei d'lav v'posik pumei migirsa. So the angel of death appeared but couldn't overtake David, couldn't overpower him because David's mouth had not stopped from the study of Torah. In other words, he was in constant Torah study, as we mentioned just a moment ago. Omar Mayavidle, so the Malach HaMoves, he has a mission. He is sent to bring David to the Olam Haba. So what am I going to do? He says, Havile Bustino Achore Beise. In back of the king's house was a busta, was a garden with trees in it. Also Malach HaMoves Solik Ubochish Bilni. The Malach HaMoves went up into one of the trees and started to make noise, start to shake the branches of the trees to make an unusual sound. Nofak lemechsi, David HaMelech went out to see what was going on. Havisolik bedarga, he was going up a stair, a ladder. Ifchis darga mituse, the stair, the rungs broke, and that sudden jolt caused him to stop his Torah learning. In other words, he was learning what we say Baal Peh. He didn't stop his Torah learning to see what was going on outside. He simply heard a strange noise, got up, and continued reciting words of Torah on his way out. And he continued this, even going up this ladder or this staircase. But when there was the stair, the rung broke from under him, that ishtik, he stopped for a moment, the noch nafshen, at that point he died. Because at that point he wasn't enjoying the protection of Torah. Sholach Shlomo lebei midrasha. So Shlomo, his son, sends a question to the base medrash. Don't forget, this is a story taking place on Shabbos, and he has a two part question. Abo me sumuta b'chamo. Father just died, and his body is out under the sun, and that will hasten body decay. Klovim shall base Abba Re'evim, and the dogs of my father's dogs are hungry. Ma'eset, what should I do? Sholchule, so they sent to him the following. Chatoch nevela v'hanoch lefnei haklovim. Cut up a piece of dead meat and give it to the dogs. V'ovicha hanoch olov kiko tinok v'taltaloi. As far as your father's corpse, so you can't move a corpse on Shabbos directly, but rather there's a legal trick, if you will. You can move the corpse along with something else. So put on the body a loaf of bread or a child, an infant, and carry the body together with one of those things on it. But notice in our markings we have an aleph and beis over the questions and also the letters over the answers. However, in the answers the beis appears before the aleph. What we're trying to illustrate here is one of the pshatim in Rashi. The second pshat in Rashi is that the the second question, namely the question concerning the dogs, they answered first. So they gave more honor, if you will, or immediacy or pertinence to the first to the second question concerning the dogs before the question concerning the dead, showing us this concept of the living dog. Literally, we're talking about the living dogs are better than the dead lion. Dead lion represented by the fearless King David, the strong King David, using the lion analogy, but he's dead. So they answered first concerning the living dogs better than the dead lion. Another pshat that Rashi gives, the first pshat is that in dealing with the dogs, you didn't have to practice any legal tricks. You take care of them straight out. Just cut up dead meat and feed it to them. You don't need to have any other, as we said, a legal trick to deal with it. However, to deal with the corpse, you couldn't just carry the corpse straight away. You had to do it with this using another element in the picture. So either one of these pshatim indicates the preeminence accorded to the dogs over the corpse, even though it was the corpse of a very great man. The lo yofam or Shlomo ki lekelev chai hu toiv min hu aryeh hames. Is it not accurate then to say that the living dog is better than the dead lion? Ulinin she'ela de she'ilna kadmechon. And regarding the question that you had asked, and here we have a little arrow to the right hand side of the Gemara text, and you can align this with the arrow as is indicated on Omid Aleph, the note indicating to look at Lamed Omid Aleph, and you'll see that the arrow there, also on the upper part of the page, almost just a few lines above this position on Omid Aleph, there is an arrow, and that points to the point at which the question was asked about putting out a fire for someone who is ailing on Shabbos. So regarding that question, Ner Kruya Ner, he answers as follows. A Ner, a candle, is called a candle. Nishmasu Shel Adam Kruya Ner. And the soul of a person is called a Ner. That idea that the soul of a person is called a Ner, Rashi quotes the Pasuk, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. Mutav Techabe Ner Shel Basar V'dam Mipnei Nero Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It would be better to put out the candle of people, that's a regular candle with a wick and oil, put it out for the benefit of the Ner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the human soul. Human life is considered the candle of the Almighty. So that if there is need for the preservation of the person's well-being and preservation of his life, put out the candle of put out your candle to save the candle of the Almighty, so to speak. Omar Rav Yehuda Braid Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav. Here we have a topic and structural note on the side. We have a series here where we employ triangles. And the note says, Bikshu Chachomim Lignois, number one, Sefer Koheles, and number two, Sefer Mishlei. And you'll notice with our markings, we have also to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a triangle with a number in it, a number one. And you have to skim down, it's quite a bit later on the page, to see where the number two appears. So we have to get into this, that it involves things that are problematic, we'll say, at first glance, that are found in Sefer Koheles and Sefer Mishlei, both of these works associated with Shlomo HaMelech. And we'll then find out why these works were preserved, as we know them as part of the Tanakh to this very day. Bikshu Chachamim Ligno Sefer Koheles. We squiggle on a Sefer Koheles, and later on the page where the next triangle appears, you can see right before that the squiggle underline of Sefer Mishlei. So they wanted to put out of circulation Sefer Koheles, and they should dvarav soistrim ze ezeh, because it has contradictions in it. And why did they preserve it and not bury it, not put it out of circulation. It begins with words of Torah and ends with words of Torah. And Rashi adds that, and all the more so in the middle of the work, there's also words of Torah. Dichtiv, well, Tchilaso Divrei Torah, we've underlined that and called it Aleph so that you can see where the Sofa Divrei Torah point is made just a couple lines from here. The beginning is Divrei Torah. It says, Ma Yisron Laodam B'chol Amolo Shamo Tachas HaShemesh. What eternal benefit does a person have from all his efforts that he exerts under the sun? The Amri Debei Rabbanai Tachas HaShemesh Hu De'ein Lo. That which one does in a mundane, domestic fashion that's under the sun, meaning in this world. True, there's no eternal benefit of everything that a person does. A person may work many hours a day to make bundles of money in order to build palatial residences and acquire all kinds of creature comforts, yachts, and luxury automobiles, and expensive vacations, etc., and so forth. Well, it might be very nice. However, of what eternal value is there in all of that? So the Beis Rav Yanai says, Tachas HaShemesh Hu De'ein Lo. Those efforts that we just described, and all attempts to acquire items, there is no eternal, lasting benefit of that. However, Koidem HaShemesh Yeshlo, that which is before the sun, and that's a reference to the Torah. The Torah was the Torah is Chochmas Hashem. It's something we can say it has an eternal element to it. It came before the world and all that's in it. So the pasuk is saying, "Ma Yisrael Adam B'chamo Shiamo Tachas Hashemesh." That which came under the sun or after the sun, no, there is no everlasting benefit. However, Kodem Shemesh Yeshlo, the study of Torah does have everlasting benefit. That's how Sefer Koheles opens. That's in Perek Aleph. Sofo Divrei Torah, the end of Sefer Koheles, also has words of Torah. Dichtiv, Sof Dovra Kol Nishma, Eshelkim Yirei, Vesmitsoysof Shma Kizeh, Kol Adam. Says that after all is said and done, the message of life is to be God-fearing and keep his mitzvos, because that is all there is to man. My Kizeh, Kol Adam. What is the meaning of that? And here you'll notice there are three approaches to this phrase. Omar Rebbe Elazar, Kol Ha'olam Kulo Lo Nivra Elo B'Shvil Zeh. The entire world was created for no reason other than for this person. The person was a Yirei Elokim and Shomer Mitzvosav. And this is such a profound idea. It's something that one should mull over whenever he has an opportunity. And that is that the Ribbono Shalom, his way of thinking is not the way of man. The Kodesh Baruch Hu was willing to create an entire universe, and all that's contained therein, with all of its complexity and marvels, for one person. A person who would be God-fearing and a fulfiller of mitzvos. Rabbi Abba Bar Kano Amar Shoku Zeh Keneged Kolam Kulo. When we say Ki Zeh Kol Adam, the pasuk is saying this person is equal to the entire world. Shimon ben Azai Omer, the Ami Law Shimon ben Zoma. Other versions have Shimon ben Zoma as the name of this point. Omer, he says, Lo Nivro Kol Olam Kulo Elo Litzavis Lazeh. The whole world was created to keep this person company, the Yorei Elokim and Shomer Mitzvosav. Umay Dvorov Soishim Zeze. Well, till now we've explained how it opens and closes with Divrei Torah. Well, what do you mean by its having words that contradict? And you notice we have a little star to meet the right hand side of the Gemara where this can be aligned with the star above where that point was made, that the words of Koheles are internally, inherently, or eternally contradictory. ksiv, and what we do here with the markings is we have diamonds that point out the stira. So we have number one, and under number one, two psukim will be featured. In other words, the first contradiction, and with diamond number two, where the second contradiction will be featured. So number one, ksiv, toiv kas mischok, better is wrath than laughter. Uksiv l'schoik amarti maholol. And the other pasuk says, I say praise to laughter. Laughter is praiseworthy. Ksiv v'shibachti asini asimcha. There's a pasuk that says, and I praise joy. Uksiv l'simcha mazose. Of what value is there in joy? Loi kasha. Here we answer there really is no contradiction, and it was because of this effort, namely the resolving of these contradictions, that we maintain Sefer Kohelis in circulation and not put it out like was originally thought. Number one, Toiv Kas Mischok, that is what we feature under our first diamond, the pasuk that says better is wrath than joy. What is that a reference to? Toiv kas shekoseh Hashbrocha tzikim b'olam hazeh. Better is the wrath that the Almighty shows to the righteous in this world. This is the concept of tzadik v'ralo. There are many occasions where one will see that those who are righteous, the negative seems to befall them. Setbacks, pain, and suffering to the righteous. Well, that is better, mischok shemesachik HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Roshoyim b'olam hazeh. It's better than the fun and good times that the Kodesh Baruch Hu bestows upon the wicked in this world. And it's all very simple. And that is that this world is a world of limited good. It's finite. A simple example would be if, let us say, someone enjoys eating a good steak. Well, he can eat a steak and enjoy it. And we serve the second steak and enjoy it, but just a little bit less. A third steak, a fourth steak, but there's a certain point at which all of the steaks that a person starts to become revolting. So whatever happened to here? The answer is that the amount of joy that a person can experience in this world is limited. So, and because we're dealing with a physical world, there are limitations. The scenario, though, that's painted over here is the righteous receiving pains and setbacks and trials and tribulations. That is all a means of penitence, of expunging any offenses the tzaddik may have committed, thereby enabling him to enjoy an immediate source of eternal, boundless pleasure in the world to come. So, isn't it better to pay the price of one's sins in Olam Hazeh in order to enjoy the eternal benefits in Olam Haba? Whereas when it comes to the wicked, who's having it good in this world, so whatever little good he may have done, he's getting his rewards for that in this world of finite pleasure. And when it comes to the world to come, very little good awaits him over there, to put it, to say it as an understatement. Uleschoik omarti maholol. Under our diamond number one, we said, we presented this pasuk that says, "I say praise, I sing the praise of joy." This is the joy and pleasure that the Kodesh Baruch Hu bestows upon the righteous in the world to come. Number two, v'shibachti ani es hasimcha. This is the first pasuk under the second diamond, where it says, "I praise joy." What is the joy that's praiseworthy? That's simcha shel mitzvah, the joy that's associated with the fulfillment of mitzvahs. Ulesimcha maze ose, ze simcha zu simcha she'eno shel mitzvah. The pasuk that says, "Well, of what does simcha accomplish? What does it do?" That's simcha that's not associated with Torah and mitzvahs. It's other kinds of mundane, earthly forms of joy.
This
teaches us that a person will not experience the divine presence not through sadness. After all, we said a moment ago that v'shibachti anasya simcha, I praise joy. So that a person who is in a state of atzlus, of sadness, or atzlus, a state of lethargy, the Shekhinah will not dwell upon him, v'lo mitoch schok, and not in a state of laughter, v'lo mitoch kalus rosh, nor in a state of frivolity, v'lo mitoch sicha, and not in a state of idle chatter, v'lo mitoch dvorim betelim, and not in foolish words, empty words. Sicha would be a higher level than dvorim betelim, but it's common talk is not the means of having the divine presence dwell upon an individual. What does do that? What accomplishes that? Elo mitoch simcha, devar simcha shel mitzvah. But the divine presence, a person can experience hashua shechina if he is experiencing the joy of mitzvah fulfillment. Shenemar, this idea of state of mind and joy in order to receive the divine presence is illustrated in the following pasuk, where the Novi says, "Be'atok chuli minagein voya kinagein haminagein, v'tihi olav yad Hashem." Now, literally, the pasuk indicates that the Novi wants someone to play music for him, and upon the hearing of the music, he'll be in a positive state of mind, and thereby have the divine presence enable him to prophesy. However, Rashi adds the main point. Kuli menagein mitzvah hi lahashris olav shchina. He is pursuing a mitzvah here. The music is simply a means of accomplishing the mitzvah of having the divine presence upon him. So he's pursuing divine presence. That is, we call his occupation with a mitzvah. The Gemara continues. Omar Rav Yehuda v'chein l'dvar halacha. Similarly, in order to have success in Torah learning, a person should be in a positive state of mind. Amar Rava v'chein l'chalom tov, and likewise, a person who wants to go to sleep and experience pleasant dreams, he should go to in a state of simcha. As we go on in the Gemara, we're going to engage in what we term here a subtopic, and hence on the side we've indicated under our subtopic the top nose, emo v'simcha. We're going to feature two states of emotion, fear and joy. Bishas limud Torah, associated with Torah study. Masai yesh tzorech l'chol echad. When is there a need for these different states of mind? So we just said, v'chein l'dvar halacha, that for success in Torah learning, one should enter it in a state of simcha. Eini d'gmas, is that so? V'omar of Gidol, Omar Rav, kol Talmud Chacham, sh'yoshif v'thnei rabu, v'ein sifsoy sef noitfus mor, techavena. Any Talmud Chacham, any student of Torah that's sitting in front of his teacher and his lips are not dripping with bitterness, in other words, he's not in a state of fear, techavena, so such lips should be scorched. Shenemar, and what's the basis for this? In simpler terms, the Pasuk is describing that a person sitting in Torah study should be in a state of fear. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Sifsoisov Shoshanim Noitfos Mor Oiver. I'll tick read Mor Oiver. Don't read the Pasuk as Mor. Mor is a spice. That's what the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim is literally describing, but don't read it as such. Ella, Mar over, rather, bitterness is passing over him, creating a state of fear. Al tikri shoshanim, don't read it as shoshanim, a type of flower. Ela sheshonim, that the word sheshonim means that are learning. So if you go back to the pasuk, you would read sif soisav sheshonim, the lips that are in Torah study notfos mar, are dripping with bitterness. Well, as we said, here this pasuk is describing a state of mind or state of being while learning as one who is fear struck. Loi kasha, there's no contradiction. Ha berabo, ha betalmid. The joy is when it comes to the teacher. The fear is when it comes to the student. the Ibo Esema Ha Veha Barabo. Another approach is that both psukim can apply to the teacher himself. V'lo Kashya Ha Mekami De Liftach. One is before he starts his actual presentation, his actual Torah lecture. There he starts it with a joke, if you will, with some type of funny remark that opens people up, gets them to listen. But then after the delivery ensues, so it should be one without this joyful spirit, but rather one of seriousness and awe. Kiha de Rabba, similar to Rabba's own practice. Mekami de Pasaklu Rabbanan, before he started his actual Torah presentation, Amar Milsa de Bichuso Batri Rabbanan, he would say something of a light nature, a joking nature, and they would feel a sense of happiness. Lesof Yosef Beimsa Pasak Beshmeitzen, and then as time went on and he started his actual lecture, he sat in a state of fear. One should not misconstrue this kind of fear that we're talking about in this context with fear of some type of misfortune befalling somebody, but rather it's a state of awe, of extreme seriousness. And in that state of mind, he engaged in the Torah lecture itself. The Af Sefer Mishle Bikshu Lignois Shoyudvarov Soisrim Zeezeh. Likewise, with the book of Mishle, sometimes known as the book of Proverbs, it too was under consideration for being put out of circulation because of contradictions found therein as well. Why did they not put it out of circulation? Amri, they said, Sefer Koheleslav, Aininon, Vashkechinon, Taimo, with the book of Koheles, did we not look into it, into the seeming contradictions, and we found good reason for each one of the psukim? Acharami Ainin, so too, with regard to Mishle, let us not act rashly, let us delve into it, and thereby preserve it. Well, what do you mean by the contradictions you found therein? Ksiv, well, here it is. On the one hand, it says, Alkan ksil kivalto, don't answer the fool. Don't respond to the fool. Uksiv ane ksil kivalto. In the same book, in the same Sefer Mishle, even in the same parak, it says, you shall answer the fool. Lo kashya, there really is no contradiction. Ha b'divrei Torah, ha b'milei d'alma. It depends. If the fool is approaching you, and it's a matter of his challenging you regarding matters that are Torah related, so answer him, so as to show that the Torah is something that can be defended and is the source of truth, and not like his foolish antagonistic remarks would indicate. However, when it comes to simple nonsense and the fool is saying something foolish, just remain silent. So as we go into the Gemara, we have a marking. You see the house shape, and on the side under our Nosei Mivneh, we've noted Mosai Yesh Lanos Laksil Umosai Lo. When is there the time to answer the fool, and when not? The connector marking that you see here is designed to show that what the Gemara explains first is the case of Mili D'Alma, that one should remain silent. So Ha B'Mili D'Alma Ki Ha. When we say remain silent, it means you don't have to answer point for point what the fool is saying. And here's a story to illustrate that. And there actually we'll have two stories to illustrate that, and we've indicated that with our numberings. So, ki ha dahu de osa lekami de Rebbe, like the following incident where someone approached Rebbe, Amar le, ishtecha ishti, ubonecha bonai. He says, your wife is really my wife, and your kids are mine. Amar le, so Rebbe says to this fool, this person that has a fair share of chutzpah in his personality, he says, Rebbe offers him, would you like a cup of wine? Shasa upoka. He accepted the cup of wine and he split open. Apparently, Rebbe had cast a spell, if you will, on the wine or whatever, but that resulted in the fool's elimination.
Hahu de osa lekame de Rebbe Chiya. Here's a story involving Rebbe Chiya. Omar le, imcha ishti, says to Rebbe Chiya, well, your mother is my wife, yato bini, and you're my son. Omar le, ritzoncha shetishta kois shel yayin, and Rebbe Chiya offers him a cup of wine, shosa upoka, as we saw just before. Omar Rebbe Chiya, ahanye le tslose le Rebbe, de lo lishave bone mamzeri. The prayers of Rebbe helped that his children should not be considered mamzerim. Well, we'll see a little bit more about what that is. Is that the Rebbe kiava matzli omar? When Rebbe davened, his prayer included the following: Yehi rotzon lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu, may it be the will of the Almighty, shetatzileni ayom me'azei ponim u'me'azus ponim, that I should be saved today from azei ponim. Rashi explains, may aze ponim, from tough individuals, lo yazikuni, that I shouldn't be the victim of some tough of ruffians. Umay azus ponim, Rashi says, and this is what's relevant to us right now, is shelo yetzel la shem amzerus, that a reputation of illegitimacy should not befall me. To who az ponim, a mamzer. It's our tradition, and it's featured in the fourth parak of Maseches Kiddushin, that a person who is born who is illegitimate, and it doesn't mean out of wedlock, but it means that his coming into being was through the wedding of two forbidden relations. For example, a brother impregnating a sister. The child that results is a mamzer, or a son that would impregnate his mother, or a father impregnating his daughter. All of those are examples of mamzerus. And the child that results is, according to our tradition, a person who lacks compassion. He is an az ponim. So we can see that, and David HaMelech prayed, that is, Rebbe prayed that he should not be suspect of illegitimacy. The Divrei Torah Maihi. We mentioned before that when it comes to Divrei Torah, then you do answer the fool. So we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, just if one forgot what this is referring to. You can align this with the arrow above, and on that line you see it said, Ha b'divrei Torah, you do answer him. And here we have some incidents, and the double underlining marking is featured on the side under our Mivneh, the structural note, Yosef Rabon Gamliel. It mentions that Rabon Gamliel was seated. There are three Mikrim, Shal Gamliel, Ono, Litainos, Ksil, Shaligleg, Al Droshoso. We'll see three incidents where a fool challenges the teachings of Rabon Gamliel. So the Gemara says, Kiha, the Yosef Rabon Gamliel. The house marking, as we mentioned earlier, is the shows when and when not to answer the seal. So we already dealt with when not to answer the seal, the fool, don't answer him, and here we see him answering, and answering means to the point. The Yosef Amliel, the Kodarish, Rabbi Amliel was seated and was holding forth and said, Asido Isha Shetele B'chol Yom. In the future, a woman will conceive and give birth every day. Shenema Hora Violetis Yachtov. Hora is to conceive, Yoledes is to give birth, and it will be together on the same day. Ligleg Olov Oisoi Talmud Omar. And we've underlined this because this is characteristic of each one of these stories where you see them introduced with the double underline. There was always going to be the response of there was a student sitting there who ridiculed. And he said, Omar, Ein kol chodesh tachas haShemesh. There is nothing new under the sun. And if child conception and succeeding birth is a 9-month process, there can't be something other than that ever taking place. Omar lay. So Rabbi Gamliel says, you got it all wrong. And here is the point. He's answering the Talmud that was mocking him. He answers him and he says that what I just described is not a violation of the Ein Kol Chodesh Tachas HaShemesh rule. I'm going to show you that very thing taking place in this world. Nofak Achvi Le Tarnagoles. And he shows him the chicken. And that is the chicken, as everyone knows, it produces its offspring, if you will, every day. You'll find chickens laying eggs on a practically a daily basis. So this idea of conceiving and giving birth on a daily basis can very well be. A chicken can be impregnated, and the egg that is laid represents the birth of that particular impregnation. The fact that it takes a while for the chicken embryo to fully develop and emerge from the egg is not relevant to our point right now. But we're talking about impregnation and that which comes forth from the creature. V'su yosef ramamliel v'kodoresh. On another occasion, Rabban Gamliel explained, "Asidim ilonis shemotziim peros b'chol yom." In the future, their trees will produce fruits every day. Shenema v'nos onof v'osa pri ma'onof b'chol yom. Just like the branch is there every day, af pri b'chol yom. So too, the fruit will be there every day. Once again, you see a student mocking him and saying, "Well, we don't see that. Fruits are seasonal. They don't come out every day." Rambam says, "I'm going to show you that what I said is really not something that is new to creation, but rather it exists in our times as well." Nofak achvi le tzlaf. He went and showed him the tzlaf plant. This is a plant that produces different types of fruits on an ongoing basis. V'su Yosef Rabban Gamliel v'kodoresh asid eretz Yisrael shetotzi gluskos kli milas. The land of Israel will produce cakes, you know, from the land, cakes and fine milas, fine fabric is produced every day. Not necessarily every day, but that the land will produce cakes and fine fabrics. Shenemar yipisas bar ba'aretz. Rashi explains the term pisas bar is the word pisas can be associated with the word pas. And Rashi says that this is the size of one's hand, like cakes that come in that form in that size. So pisas is a reference to the cakes, and bar is the word pisas also is, we should say, is mashma. The word pisas also mashma like the word ksonis pasim, the coat, the shirt, the coat, the cloak that Yosef received from his father, pasim. So that the word pisas bar, pisas, contains both a reference to the cakes and to the fabric. The word bar, Rashi says, is indicative of food, and it also is associated with something that's very clean, and that would be relevant to the fabrics. So each word, pisas, is reference to the both the food and the fabric, and the word bar has that connotation as well. Ligleg olav oisetam v'mer ein kochos tachas shemesh. There is no such thing as the ground producing cakes and fabrics. So Rambam Gamliel says, I'm not featuring anything new. The same thing actually takes place to this very day, or on this very day. Nofak achvilei kemenu pitrius the aklei melas navro barkura. Regarding the food, he showed him the land producing mushrooms and truffles. They come out, and Rashi says they shiyotzin kamos shehein balaylo echod. They come out in one night. Urchavim v'agulim kugusos, and they're wide and circular like loaves. So that the ability of the land to produce loaves is something that even a similar model, a model of that, takes place under our very noses. And regarding the clay melas, the fine fabric, navro barkura. Rashi points out this is a type of netting, a network that grows on the inside of palms. If you take a close look at this, it actually looks like woven fabric growing from the tree. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.